Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, I'm going to be in several different places, but you can turn right now. Let's see here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Before I get there, let me just set up a little bit about what we talked about last week. During the second part in the series from the book, and this chapter is Born This Way. Talked a little bit last week about some things that our society looks at and how they look at it from a perspective that we've been arguing as Christians wrong. Well, you're not born that way. Well, absolutely they're born that way. They're born into sin. Everybody is. And so for them to say, well, I don't believe someone could be born into sin. Well, then you haven't read your word, because the word's real clear that we're born with the Adamic sin nature of Adam. That's what the Bible says. So knowing that, we can understand why certain people are born with certain tendencies to sin. There's generational things that, like Josh was saying, well, my daddy's poor, I'm poor. See, we bring that with us. Now, because of Jesus, we don't have to anymore. We can be born again and born different. But we carry on things, and what I'm telling you is Jesus has broke the curse for whatever you've brought with you. You don't have to have that anymore. And you hear that all the time here in Christian ministries. I just want to make sure you're out arguing it at your workplace with relatives. And I argument's probably the wrong word, as you're discussing it in Christian love. You can't be on wrong side of thinking here, thinking you're arguing the right thing when you're not. Jude 10, these people scoff at things they don't understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, so they bring about their own destruction. Here in the United States, people are living by their instincts. And I'm just telling you, if you do what your instincts, flesh desire instincts, you live by what they tell you, and you're going to be miserable. And there, people are bringing about their own destruction. I talked about 2 points last week. What the battle is today is people have either made a choice for a lifestyle of sin, or they can't help it. I just born this way, so that's just the way I am, and I can't help that I do this. Well, that's all great, except for we've got to recognize that Jesus can help us. Romans 8:12, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. And so that's a verse I talked a lot about last week. As I'm getting into tonight, I wasn't able to finish everything I wanted to talk about. I think it's important that we understand our natural instincts will cause destruction. So we need to be born again. So when you hear somebody talking about born this way, you got to understand what they're talking about. They're trying to say they can't help their sinful nature. And a lot of times they go, since I was born this way, it really can't be sin. It really can't be sin. Because people are born with heart murmurs. People are born with autism. And we don't call that sin. And they can't help it. Why could I help it? It's a condition I have. Like homosexuality is a condition. It's no more a condition than anger is. And you just need Jesus. But see, heart murmurs, autism is not sin. And they're trying to classify this all into the same area. And it's not. It's different. All right, so that's preaching last week in a matter of seconds. And if you were done right now, let's see, what time is it? I would have children's church really frustrated with me. So I get to spend a little extra time. I've been in and early. And I mean, if they're having to make an announcement that you parents are coming down too early, that means I'm preaching fast. That means I get more time tonight. So Hank, no, I'm just kidding. Just talk longer when we're done. Galatians 3, verse 27. Two passages I want to talk about. All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The term born this way, and you have your Bibles there, go ahead and turn to Colossians, and I'll get to that one here in a second. But born this way is not an argument that can stand up when you get these verses. Now, I want to explain these verses. We're going to talk about them a little bit tonight. But we just read Galatians 3, 27 and 28. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. says, put on your new nature, be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. People don't get this. They don't get this, and they don't get it in the church. And that's why it's imperative that we talk about this, because I understand we're all saved, but we got this mindset that we're all different. And the fact is, we are if we continue to live the way we were born. But when we take on Jesus, when we allow Him to come in and transform us, we are one in Christ. And you just turn on the news and they're going to talk about gender identity. They're going to talk about how women get less pay than men. I mean, it's just a big topic, and I'm not here to even begin to tackle that. Women get whatever. But they're always talking about the difference between men and women. And what we do, we talk about then Black Lives Matter. Have you heard that term? I'm not here to tackle that. I'm just here to say all lives matter, and black ones do too. But here's what I'm here. I mean, let's just talk about this tonight. What Black Lives Matter is doing is saying we are a group of people that are separate from everybody else. We're being discriminated against. We're not looked at the same. And I don't disagree with them. I don't get into that argument. What my argument is, that's because we haven't become one in Christ. And as long as we keep Christ off the scene, there will always be a division between men and women. There'll always be a division. See, because the way we were born is messed up. And so let's read these again with that understanding. Galatians 3, all who've been united with Christ have put on Christ. There's no longer Jew, Gentile, slave, free, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, male or female, you're all one in Christ. I mean, I added some words there, but. Colossians, put on your new nature, be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, like Him, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, rich, poor, slave, free. I mean, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. I think this message should be preached from the top of our country down. But when you remove the Bible, you remove this teaching. And so we're talking about being born again. You have to understand that in our culture, there are four categories I want to talk about this evening of distinction that people live in that in Christ should be done away with. The first one is race. The second one is class. The third one is gender. And the fourth is culture. Now, I got to tell you, all of these are the way we were born. All of them are. Born this way. I agree with you. You are born this way. I was born white, middle class, male, Western culture. And anybody listening to this podcast, anybody that's looking at me right now, you can hear it in my voice. You can see it in my face. I mean, you just look at me. I'm middle class. I'm white. I am a male, and I'm in the Western culture. See, there's nobody would debate that. That's true. All of those things you can identify in me. So let's talk about these because everybody has one of the four. And a lot of you would share that, except for half of you, on the gender issue. In fact, as I look around, there's probably more of you that are not, so it's a little less. We're outnumbered tonight. I'm looking around. First one is race. Here's what I want you to know tonight. All attempts by the United Nations to join all the races will fail miserably. So you hear that. We're trying to join all these races together, and the United Nations working hard at it. God created a decisiveness. There's a big word for you. And you can know I don't say it a lot. Between groups of people and race that divides and separates. God created that, the different races. Why? Well, you can go back in Scripture and find out exactly why. It's real clear why. Because man couldn't get along and couldn't do the things right headed towards God. What they were getting along with was headed towards evil, and God said, no, that's not what we're doing. And so he divided that and said, "You agreement is a powerful thing." God knew that, and he said, wait, if you're going to come into agreement against me, I'm going to divide you. So anytime, just know when we're coming in agreement against the things of God, there will be division. Look at the United States. What's happening with our divide? I mean, we're watching the Republican Party right now. They can't get along in the Republican Party. And it's supposed to just be the Republicans and Democrats that can't get along. Now the Republicans can't get along. Why? Because when you take God out of it, there is decisiveness. See, when God is gone, then there is no agreeing. It's just not going to happen. And that's the way it was set up. And there's only one way to overcome that, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus. That's it. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, that's Scripture, and we've got to get a hold of this. Whites will never get along with blacks, and blacks will never get along with whites until Jesus comes on the scene. And I've been around too many people who claim to be Christian, and they still have this issue with races. And the reason they do is because Jesus hasn't become Lord in their life, the situation. I'm not here to judge them. I'm just saying when you make Jesus Lord, you are not decisive in your race relation. You're not decisive in your race. Why? Because we all understand in Jesus there is no race. So you can only talk about the division in race when you're talking about it from a world standpoint. There is a born diversity in this world. We will never have unity without Jesus. You know what concerns me with the way the world acts and thinks? But really, it doesn't surprise me. Because you can read all through Scripture, when they didn't listen to God, that's what happened. They were all in disagreement, frustration, and turmoil. Unity and things can be built when you can get on the same page. And here's what concerns me, though. You have preachers. And I see this a lot, and I've watched it on television, and I've heard it on radio. But I've heard black preachers make statements, and I'm not here because I'm white coming against a black preacher. But I have heard this statement, and here's what they have said. They talk about, here's what should be done for our people. And they're not saying our people referring to Christianity. They're referring to our people associated with a race. Now, I'm sure that has happened with white preachers too. When it does happen, they're attacked by everybody. But certain races can go up, and they have talked about this in a Christian circle because they have been continually put down, enslaved, and they have been hurt, and I get all of that. But the reason they have, and the reason we have, and the reason everybody has, is because we didn't know Jesus and we needed to be born again. See, you got to get that. Then you can have some sympathy for where they're at and realize you're not going to politically legislate rightness into this. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to make a political stance and make all this happen. What's going to have to happen is Jesus is going to have to come up on the scene, and churches have got to change what they're teaching. So they got to teach Jesus and him crucified. In Christ, and Josh mentioned this earlier tonight, we are a holy race. A holy priesthood. We are one race in Jesus. See, there is no black, there is no white, there is no Jew, there is no Greek. And pastors leading nations thinking and standing up and championing, is that the word, championing? A group of people. They're trying to put a group of people into a higher standing just because they are a certain race. They're leaving Jesus out of the mix. And it ain't ever going to work. Without Christ being seen, there will always be race issues. Jesus did away with all that. We're one people. We are one. What's it say? One nation under God. And if we're not, race is an issue. But when we're one nation under God, Race isn't a big deal. We're losing our power in a national standing because we're a group here, we're a group there, and we are separating our nation when under God, we are to be one. Problem is, we ain't under God. The second thing tonight, class. Let's talk about this for a second. Class, let me give you the definition. A set, collection, a group, a configuration containing members regarded as having certain attributes or traits in common. A social stratum where members share certain economic, social, or cultural characteristics. The Bible says bond, free, slave, master. The Bible talks about have and have nots. I call them have and have notters. When a person feels he is above another person, that person is dealing with pride. When a person feels he is below another person, he deals with a great amount of frustration. I mean, that's just the way it is. Class is simply based on how you feel. How you feel. What do we talk about feelings here all the time? Don't be led by your feelings. Someone, give you an example tonight. Someone can have plenty of money and be frustrated because someone else they know has more. They got plenty of money. Why are you belly aching about your money crisis? Well, because so-and-so has a whole lot more than I do, and I don't know, I'm just not fair. I love that statement. My kids cringe when I say it because I used to cringe when they would say it, and I did my best to get that out of them. A slave can deal with pride. Did you know that? A slave can deal with pride because they get two meals a day and someone else only got one. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter where you're at in a class system. You can have pride at the top or you can have pride at the bottom. You can be humble at the top, you can be humble at the bottom. It don't make any difference. When feeling starts getting in there, you have pride issues, and then when someone else is better than me in every situation, then you have low self-esteem. And both of those things aren't going to help the kingdom of God. In fact, they'll tear it up. See, class system is just a feeling. Here in America, we pride ourselves in knowing that we live better than the rest of the world. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that's gone on in our society. We don't need God here. That's not a statement that I think. I think we desperately need God. But I think that's a thought in our nation. And it's subconscious. I don't think they just go out and say, "We don't need you, God." But I'm reminded of a phrase that was made by one of the builders of a giant boat, the Titanic. Not even God could sink this ship. That is an underlying cause of the destruction that's going on in America. We don't need God. Why? Because we are a land of plenty. We are a land of whatever we want, we get. And we've got people in our jail systems and prisoners across the country that thought they were invincible. I'm just telling you, sin will catch you. And it is not fun when you get in the middle of it. And some of the times, we don't even realize that we're in it before it gets us because it's so easy to access in our culture because we have everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? And class is a big deal. See, automobiles are no longer just a means of transportation here in America. They're clearly a class distinction. I'm telling you, they are. Motorcycles. If you don't have a Harley, you're no one. Some people think that. I'm no one because you don't have one. It's called low self-esteem, Josh. Houses are no longer just a means of shelter. See, they're not. We have subdivisions that are built to identify class. I knew a person who worked in Springfield that had got a job in Springfield, was moving to Springfield to start a career, and they had we were knowledgeable of this couple that was moving here, and we had known them, and they were wanting to come into this area. So they asked us to kind of look for some homes for them. This is years ago before the church even started, and we were helping them look. Well, we found a beautiful home at a great price, and we were driving to look at it, and we had to pass some trailer houses on the way to it. And here was their response: I can't drive by this house every day. We quit looking for them. Not to be rude, not to be mean, but wait a minute here. In Jesus, we do away with class. Let's not get caught up on. But homes are clearly built based on a class system. And in Christ, we got to get rid of that. That can't be how we live. Clothes are not for protection from the elements and modesty. They're established to have the best designer worn. Sagging clothes are there to show people everything you got or shouldn't be showing. Let me just tell you, Jesus don't care about your jeans or what car or what house you have. Why do you? Now, obviously, that's a ditch teaching, I understand. But hear the point in it. The point is we make too much to do with class and not enough to do with Christ. James 1:9, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God's honored them. Wow, what a verse. And then it goes on in verse 10 of James 1, and it says, those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. Regardless of which end of the class you are on, you need to boast in God. See, that's where we, Christians who are living by their class system, haven't really come to an understanding of who Jesus is. There's no slave, free, barbaric, or uncivilized in Christ. That's what the Bible says. See, we are free in Christ from the feeling of class. Pastors, hear me, are not superior to anyone. Pastors are not superior to anyone. So take the white collar off and be a person like God's called you to be. And minister his word like you're called to be, but don't put yourself above anyone else. And I'm saying that as a pastor, and I receive that myself. I'm not in any different place than anyone. We just all need Jesus. Have different giftings. I have the ability to communicate the word, to try and hear him, and I don't always succeed on what we need to do as far as the next building project, what we need to do as far as the next ministry outreach, what we need to do as far as sending some men to Honduras. Somebody's got to make a call. I have accepted that call from the Lord, and I can make it. But that don't put me in any different position than where you're at when you've got to make a call in your life with your husband or your wife or your kids or in ministering the word on your job and being a minister. All I'm here is trying to equip people for the work that God's called us all to do. And so that's why I'm not a big one. When someone's in the hospital, pastor's got to go to the hospital. You haven't got this class thing figured out. Wait a minute, we're all Christians. And the best thing that would happen if someone's in the hospital, everybody that's gifted in hospital ministry ought to be up there. When grandpa was in the hospital or when he was in the nursing facility, I was appreciative for those of you that were gifted in hospitality and in love and in visitation, being up there and visiting with him, and I know he was. He'd tell every day who was there and what was going on. Mama kept keeping, so-and-so stopped by, so-and-so stopped by. Oh, great. What's the deal with that? The deal is people were doing the work of the ministry. That's what the deal is. And they weren't concerned about class and, well, this is who so-and-so should do. No, class, we all are the body of Christ and we're functioning. Number three, gender differences. In the beginning, God created male and female. All right. Here's what really sticks out to me, because a lot of people don't agree with the differences in male and female, but they don't understand how God created male and female. He created them male and female, and there was no distinction before the fall of man in where they stood, what they did. It was just they needed both to procreate, be fruitful and multiply. So the only distinction was for that purpose. But we have made a distinction in many other areas of our lives since then. In pay, we've made a distinction in their worth. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Not the man, not the woman, the person. And you know, a lot of times in Scripture, the Greek and the Hebrew word for man is actually a word that is not meant to separate male from female. It just means a person. That's all it means. And so we get caught up a lot of times. Well, he didn't say that to me. I'm a girl. Now, I don't get caught up on that, but some of you may. I'm a girl. He didn't say it to me. He said that to the man. God doesn't make a gender struggle. It was sin that did that. Let me say that again, because I want to make sure you get it. God doesn't make a struggle between male and female. Sin makes that struggle possible. That's what makes that struggle possible. And we got to understand, Christians don't see man above and woman beneath. They don't see it that way. Christians don't. If they get a hold of the way God sees it. See, as a Christian man, they don't make women cover their whole body and put two little holes for their eyes to look out. Christians don't do that. Christians don't make women walk so many feet behind them. Christians don't keep women from being educated. Christians don't treat women as personal property. See, Christianity makes a difference in how women are treated. So if we want equality for women here in the United States of America, we need to bring Christ back on the scene and get people born again. So that's what we're missing. We're missing it in all these areas because we don't understand scriptures. All are one in Christ. There's no fighting for women's rights. There's no suppression of women when Jesus comes on the scene. It's when Jesus is left out that we all of a sudden start suppressing women. Are you hearing this? So if you're fighting this at your work, you're fighting this with a political structure, you're fighting this in your own mind, introduce people to Jesus. That's the fight that will win it. But there's no way you're going to win that fight until Jesus comes on the scene. There'll always be a distinction between men and women. Fourth thing is culture. And in Christ, we do away with culture, barbarian or uncivilized. Everyone who was not a Greek was a barbarian. As you read Scripture, you got to understand this. It's very important. Everyone who was not a Greek was a barbarian. You say, well, what was a barbarian? A barbarian was animalistic, was uneducated, and uncivilized. See, we don't go to the other side of the tracks because we're not one of them. That's the barbarian. And that's the Greek that says that. The religious people actually taught this in Scripture. There's a distinction in culture. You can't go to this church. You can't go to that church. You wouldn't be accepted. And I'm telling you, I have heard that. I have traveled in a lot of churches, and I know there are some people in certain churches that were not accepted. In Springfield, Missouri, there are certain churches that if you are a black person and walked in the back door, they would come and meet you and say, people, your race, meet down the street a little ways. There's a church down. We can take you down there. We say, well, they weren't mean. No, they never got the scripture. See, they just never got this. How does that happen? Barbaric. People of your kind. People of your kind. People walking in the back door of a church where everybody's in suits and they come in rags. We got to get you cleaned up. You can't dress like that in church. Are you barbarian and Greek? The Bible says in Christ those are done away with. So for you to judge someone on how they look, you might want to get born again. You might want to get Christ where he needs to be. We got to come to a place where we understand a scriptural principle. In Honduras, the people there look at us, and they'll look at us, and Chico can verify this, some of you men that have been there, they look at us, and some of them, I remember them looking at Dan Rosworm, I'll just never forget. They looked up at him. And I mean, he was just, everybody was like, when Dan had walked by, they'd be like. Because they'd just never seen someone of his stature. I mean, and if they had, it'd been on the movies. There was a look that gave, but as soon as he would smile and put his hand on them, and they all knew that we were Christians, that was just done away with. It wasn't looked at like they were less than us. And so in a matter of no time, Chico there working, putting concrete on the second floor of our church in Honduras, as he would be working on that, he had a bunch of guys that worked with him, and they all would ask about Chico? Is he coming back? I mean, that's one of the things Alvin asks all the time. Why do they ask that about Chico? They ask that about him because he didn't make a difference in being from America or them being from Honduras. There was no separation in nationality, in race. And they kind of thought he was the same race anyway because his name was very similar anyway. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. See, we can't look at ourselves different because of our culture. As we go down to a different culture, we proclaim Jesus and we are not in a different culture. We go to church down there, we're not in a different church. We're just in the church. We're down in Christian Ministries and we happen to be in Honduras. Romans 2 verse 28 says, "For you're not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents, or because you've gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. A true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not people." In Christianity, we've got to get to the point where God is the one that gives our commands, gives our credit, gives our accolades. God's the one that speaks joy into us. And then we don't have to expect or get frustrated when man doesn't. When man doesn't, as long as we've got God in the place where he needs to be. And I think it's very important we understand that, because that's the way we get past cultural differences, is we seek God. I remember in Honduras driving up a hill on the back of a motorcycle, and BJ, one of the missionaries there, was driving, not this BJ, another BJ was driving a motorcycle up the hill. I wouldn't have been riding behind this BJ, but this BJ was on a motorcycle. And so we're riding up a hill, and we're going up a hill, and all of a sudden this van has a light that they stick out the window and put on, and a siren, and they catch us. And I mean, we're on this hill and on a motorcycle in a van. Four-wheel drive van, mind you, a four-wheel drive minivan. Now, that's cool. And it stops right there on the side of this mountain. We get off, and here's what BJ said, who spoke a little Spanish. He said, "Let me do the talking." And I said, "BJ, there won't be no problems here, because I don't speak a lick of Spanish, so it's not an issue." And he got off. Well, you know what I started doing? I started praying. You know why? Because I was praying that there'd be one of those men that was in that group that was pulling us over. And they say that a lot of the cops and the people down there are corrupt and they want paid off. And so they'll pull over Americans trying to get money out of them. He said, "Whatever you do, don't give them money. If they take us to jail, don't give them money." Yeah. What? I got some money. I might give out. We need $5 here. Let me go. But no, they don't give them money. They'll take us down there, and then the consulate will come get us, and they will get punished, and they will not take us down there because they know that would happen. So they're going to let us go. Just don't give them any money, and they won't assault us. And I said, "Okay. Father, right now, please. Please do something to take these guys. I pray one of them's a Christian. You can speak to them. If they ain't, one of them needs to get saved right now, God. Please. I don't want to go to jail. I'm in Honduras. My wife and kids need me." And I'm just all these things and going through my mind. You know, it wasn't but a few minutes later, and they're all smiling and they're waving. And he said, "Yeah, one of them knew one of the guys from our church." That's all I needed to hear. Let's go. We get back on. Now, I didn't get on the motorcycle with BJ again. One time was enough for me, getting pulled over. See, you have to have a helmet in Honduras. And if you were to know the way people drive and they enforce helmet laws, that's crazy. But they do. You got to have a helmet if you're on a motorcycle. But here's the thing. The thing that made us no different in that culture was Jesus. See, there's story after story I could tell you of missionaries and different stories. And what you got to know is we can't get caught up on cultural differences. We need to get caught up on Jesus. We need to get caught up on Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 5 and 7, then I'll close. "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin." This is Paul talking. "A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Philippians 3, verse 8 says, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I'll experience the resurrection from the dead." Paul had it figured out. I'm not worried about culture. I'm worried about Jesus. I'm worried about Jesus. Church, tonight, I don't care how you were born. In him, you and I are one, regardless of race, class, regardless of gender, and regardless of culture. In Christ, we are one. Y'all learn anything tonight? I think it's important that we get a hold of this.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.